Hi, I'm Diane Rutledge, Executive Director of LUDA, the Large Unit District Association.
Hi, Karen Valadez, Executive Director of EDRED. EDRED is Education, Research, and Development. We are an education advocacy organization that is located in suburban Cook and Lake and DuPage counties.
And I'm Peg Agnos, and I have the pleasure of working with three different organizations. So I work with LEND, which is the Legislative Education Network of DuPage, and then I work with SCOPE, the South Cooperative Organization for Public Education, and those districts reside in South Suburban Cook County and Will County. And I also work with the Illinois High School District Organization that services high school districts across the state.
So you're all registered lobbyists. But that has a certain connotation.
Well, first I'd say, even though we're registered lobbyists, but that we are advocates, and what we really do is provide information and support for the legislators so they can make the best decisions possible on behalf of our school districts.
And I think one significant difference is that we're public sector lobbyists. So I think the approach that you take is, as Diane mentioned, is more informational. Basically what the impact is on the districts, and you can tell by where our memberships reside that we can say to them how differently any piece of legislation or any proposal that they're putting forward will have on any part of the state.
I should just ask you to describe what kind of purgatory we're in at this moment.
Wow. Purgatory is probably a really good question, a really good way to say, to describe this very last day of session. I think that purgatory, frustration, dismay, because we've all worked very hard this session to come to some, we thought, some conclusion. Conclusion in terms of school funding, conclusion in terms of a budget, conclusion in terms of taking something back that was reliable, viable, and stable for our members. And I think because we've also engaged our members so much this year. And to have to go back to them and say, everything is sort of on hold, and we're in continuous session again, is going to be a hard pill for them to swallow. We talked about it a little this morning, and I'll let my colleagues tell you how they feel, but I feel a little empty.
I would agree with that statement that Peg has made. I think that as the representatives of our organizations, we have put in blood, sweat, and tears this year to really get to a point that we all feel that we have achieved something. And so we're waiting for that something to actually take shape. Yes, are we in purgatory at the moment? You could describe it as that. But I think a great deal of work still needs to be done on all of these issues so that we can achieve something that is really monumentous for the state.
And I remember last year at this time, I think there were 10 different bills that dealt with school funding in some way or another. So we really have come a long way. And again, I'm sometimes guilty about being the optimist out of this group, eternal optimist, thinking something will happen. I'm not saying something's going to happen today, but I think that we're so much closer than where we were a year ago today, that I think it's still possible. I don't think that we should throw in the towel and say that nothing's going to happen. We're not there. But here's the deal. In Illinois, public policy is so difficult, in particular education public policy, because of the diversity of our state, the number of school districts that we have. I mean, it's complicated and it's complex. And that's why the solutions are also complicated and complex. And to get consensus on all of these things is very difficult. And yet, here we are, very close. And everybody would have said last Thursday or Friday, we were really close. And then things changed again, but things are still in motion.
Would you say that we have turned the corner now and everybody is saying we've got to get a new formula? Is everybody in agreement on that?
That's been the conversation since really the last 2 years. That has been the conversation to say the current formula is broken and that there's no reason to put new money into the old formula. And thus the work has been on this new one. Occasionally right now, when people get frustrated, they will say, why don't we just totally fund this formula and it will work? But I don't think that anyone's ready to do that now simply because we've had so much conversation to say that it's broken. And so I would say the consensus is that we're ready to move forward with this. The thing I oftentimes say about this one is the fact that it's based on actually education attainment. before, we've always just taken a look at how many dollars do we have, how many children do we have in the state of Illinois, let's divide it up and let's just move forward. And that's not what this one does, but it really does care about how those dollars are used and how that helps to move students forward in terms of achievement.
Okay, so the current formula is kind of reverse engineered. Is it fair to say that the evidence-based model itself is agreed to? It's the distribution model?
Yes, right. Correct.
Absolutely.
The distribution model is what everybody's arguing about. Okay.
And I would add, as our groups each represent different populations within the state, and then you add on top of that other organizations, there is a lot of momentum towards the evidence-based model. But to your point, absolutely, the adequacy model, that is the evidence-based formula, is a great piece, but the distribution side becomes the issue. How do you distribute any dollars, current or new, and get it to the right place is the most important piece.
Okay. So one thing that gets talked about a lot is property taxes. And Karen, I know that you represent some of the wealthiest districts in the state. In fact, the wealthiest district, the one that spends the most per child, is one of your clients, right? But I also remember superintendents being interviewed about what, you know, pick your poison if you had to cut, and nobody wanted a property tax freeze. They would rather have a pension cost shift, right? So how do your members feel about a property tax freeze?
I will tell you, EDRED is adamantly opposed to any type of property tax freeze. It is, given that we receive minimal amounts of dollars from the state as it is, and we rely heavily on property taxes to fund education, high quality education at that, we want to ensure that moving forward, as part of this conversation, there is a component called the hold harmless, that is maintained for all districts. That is maintained. We do not feel that any district should lose money. Then moving forward, every district in the state, inclusive of Chicago, should be treated the same way.
Wait, time out. When you say every district should be treated the same, even Chicago, but you also said every district should be held harmless, does that mean also even Chicago?
Yes, we believe that. They should receive their block grant as part of their hold harmless. We believe that.
Okay, so sorry I interrupted you. Go on about property taxes.
But I would say, even within caucus conversations, there's concern of districts that live under PTEL and districts that don't. So you have to take that into account into the formula. From the perspective of property taxes, though, we want to be very cautious to say that you cannot, in the proposals that we have seen, they've only freezed the extension rate, which will not provide significant property tax relief for homeowners. It will only frustrate the educational system. So we are very much opposed to the proposals that are on the table.
Wow. Do you feel like that message is going anywhere?
It's not in the sense that from a legislator's perspective, that they hear from their constituents who all believe that they have high property taxes. And school districts tend to be the largest governing body that receives those taxes. Therefore, they would like to be able to say that they could freeze them. So we understand why they're trying to do that or want to do that. But the reality is what Karen described, is that it's really the extension which will not give that much relief. And I'm not sure all taxpayers really understand that part of it or will realize that. On the other hand, we as school districts rely heavily upon it. It is our mechanism that's been given to us to be able to raise dollars to educate the children in the state of Illinois. So when we talk about freezing it, it's like, well, then what is it we're supposed to do? So that's the frustration that you hear. And again, from a legislator's perspective, they're hearing it from both sides, and it's very challenging. We're looking for some kind of compromise or resolution on that.
Wow. Yeah, if you can make a TV ad that explains PTEL in 30 seconds.
One of our superintendents says, you're not freezing the property owner, you're freezing the operations of the school district, because eventually their EAV is going to go up, so their property taxes are going to go up at no fault of the local school district.
Their equalized assessed value. So their property value is going to go up.
Correct. So whether or not a freeze is imposed, it is never a freeze on the property owner because their equalized assessed valuation would go up. So 30 seconds? you're freezing the operations of the school district, but you're not really freezing the property values of the local school district. They continue to go up. So they're never going to see a property tax bill go down. Maybe one time, but that property tax bill will go up right away.
Okay, I want each of you to give me your prediction about what will happen in the next 9 hours. Start with Diane.
I think that we will possibly hear some of these bills on the floor. I don't think that we're going to get consensus on any of this. I think we're going to be coming back in the summer.
We're going home the same way we came. No budget, no funding bill.
Funding is the most important piece to this conversation. And so we need to make sure that we have supportive revenues that will, when we see the implementation of a new school funding reform package that is inclusive of the EBM, that it is appropriately funded.
All right. Thank you all for talking to me.
You are welcome.